From Stars to Dust. Hello, this is Rako Stefanović from Walla Walla College School of Theology. Welcome to Prologue, our weekly radio program that focuses on biblical topics and discussions. Today we are continuing our series of topics based on one of the most important books of the Bible, the Book of Daniel. To help us explore this book, I have invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion, Dr. Dave Thomas, Dean of School of Theology, and Ken Bramlett, a doctoral candidate at the University of Toronto, Canada, who specializes in archaeology and teaches theology on our campus. Welcome to both of you, and thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm ready to make a confession. Daniel chapter 5 is my favorite chapter in the book of Daniel.
Mm.
It's a fascinating story, another story of Babylon, because for the third time, the Babylonian pagan astrology is at a standstill, or is bankrupt, as some scholars would call it in their commentaries. For the third time, the Babylonian wise men are unable to help the emperor.
In less than a lifetime.
Yes.
Ooh.
It is a story about Daniel, another story about Daniel, because once again, God is able to intervene through Daniel. And if we put this story with a number of Jewish legends on what happened when actually Nebuchadnezzar did fall and the Persians came, how Daniel, through his wisdom with other dignitaries, saved the city of Babylon from destruction, then we really find Daniel again doing redemptive type of work here. It is a story of a very curious person in the book of Daniel called Belshazzar. Now, we run into him without any formal introduction. Kent, can you tell us a few words who he might have been?
Well, we know that the last king of Babylon was Nabonidus. And Nabonidus' son was Belshazzar. Nabonidus, though, did not spend a lot of time in Babylon. Rather, he evidently spent most of his final years in Arabia, in the northern Hejaz. And his son, Belshazzar, then probably, we assume, functioned as his regent or his co-regent in Babylon, which is why the story would focus around him.
And which is why the name Belshazzar is hard to find anywhere.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And what is frustrating is that even though nowadays we have some documents that attest his existence, the existence of the firstborn son of Nabonidus, at the time that Babylon fell or came to an end, we do not have details of what kind of ruler he was in Babylon, anything about his character. We do learn something from the prayers that are found that mention his name. So basically, Daniel 5 is our only source on what kind of person this man was. And what is interesting, what makes Daniel 5 unique, is that this is the only text in our Bible that talks about the fall of Babylon in historical terms. Now, maybe I should put quotation marks around the word historical, because we don't have enough here of historical details. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting that when the Bible describes about the fall of the arch enemy of God and his people, it talks of a confrontation between two people whose names were very similar, weren't they?
Yeah, Belshazzar and Belteshazzar.
That's right. So we find a king, a ruler, if you do not feel comfortable with the word king, even though the Bible does use that term, because Nabonidus, as you have said, was the official king. Mm. So we have a ruler confronted by a prophet.
Mm.
Now this time, we find that Daniel is not just a wise man, because wise men did not often dare, in fact, almost never dare to rebuke the king, but a prophet could do that. So
and
we
actually
find Daniel in the role of the prophet.
Yeah, when you talk about a ruler being confronted by a prophet, that brings to mind a whole lot of other Bible stories, too, where the prophet and the king met.
That is true.
And in many cases, the prophet was not afraid to mm-hmm. tell the king mm-hmm. what was problematic.
So this brings us to the story that is found in this chapter, and that is Belshazzar's unusual behavior. He organizes a banquet, and very few scholars feel sure in knowing what kind of banquet is here in question. So that is somewhat enigmatic, what kind of banquet was here in question. There is something that went against the traditional Oriental culture, and that is that men and women were eating and drinking together. Now, that was very much inappropriate in the ancient world. But to top it off, what does he do? He asks for the vessels that had been taken from the temple in Jerusalem to the temple in Belshazzar, and he expresses a plan and intention of using those in the banquet for the drinking of his wise men. Any significance in the context of the Bible, what Belshazzar actually was doing?
Well, he would have been profaning the sacred vessels, but it's not only in the context of the Bible, it's in the context of the whole ancient Near East, mm-hmm. where these vessels would have been recognized as holy, even though they didn't recognize the God of Israel as the only God. Still, they would have valued those vessels as something holy. So for Belshazzar to request those, would to use at a banquet like this, would be sacrilegious, even within his perspective of the divine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why did he select, of all the vessels that were there, why did he ask for those taken from Jerusalem?
You must have a good answer for that, Zdravko.
No, I don't.
Oh.
But there are some questions here that still puzzle me as we all study the book of Daniel. Why? Maybe the next section that we'll study together and discuss here may help us. Let's look a little at the way in which the two men relate to each other. The ruler and the prophet. As Daniel comes before Belshazzar, what does Belshazzar say? How does he address him? He says, "Are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard about you," and he proceeds.
You see, what strikes me here is that the flow of the story is very different to the ones we've seen earlier with Nebuchadnezzar. With Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of every story, his progress toward God is better. With this one, Belshazzar is all finished. He starts in rebellion and dies the same night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds that Belshazzar is the typical profligate son of the ruler. Mm-hmm. And here he's throwing this lavish feast. And there may have been some tension even between him and Daniel, one mm-hmm. must wonder. Perhaps that's behind his selection of the vessels from the Temple of Yahweh. Jerusalem.
We know from historical sources that the subsequent rulers of Neo-Babylon longed to be somehow linked to the famous Nebuchadnezzar.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the stories in the book, Daniel was next to that famous Nebuchadnezzar, sitting next to him. And here was Belshazzar next to his father Nabonidus. So could it be that Belshazzar was sitting in Daniel's seat in this case? There may have been some kind of professional jealousy here. Well, what about Daniel? How does he react? You have, Dave, raised something that is very interesting. In the previous discussions, we have talked about God's patience with King Nebuchadnezzar, also Daniel's positive attitude toward Nebuchadnezzar. What about here, when Daniel comes into Belshazzar's presence? Anything unusual? Does he greet him in the usual way, as it was customary at the palace?
Well, I hadn't noticed that, but what are you thinking of?
Not a lot of respect, is there?
Yes. There is no usual, all king live forever.
And vice versa, though. Belshazzar referred to Daniel as one of the exiles. Mm-hmm. He didn't speak of him as my father's right-hand man. He was one of the exiles, and then Daniel back to him.
In other words, an intruder here, somebody who's infiltrated or come into the Babylonian lifestyle.
Which suggests that relations weren't all that good.
Now, I tend to be somewhat cynical and maybe too hard on Belshazzar. And probably I cannot be justified in doing this. I find some scholars almost defending Belshazzar, saying, well, he really didn't know. You see, he couldn't even recognize Daniel. However, in verse 22, Daniel says, "But you, his son, O Belshazzar, you have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this."
Yeah.
Now, this puzzles me. How about you? according to Daniel, Belshazzar must have heard of many of the stories that the Queen Mother had raised.
But see, doesn't this open the possibility that what we have in the story here is a simple, rank, blatant rebellion by Belshazzar against the God whom Nebuchadnezzar had begun to serve?
At least the respect wasn't there.
Yeah.
The respect that Nebuchadnezzar had developed, Belshazzar did not share.
So do you think, Kent, that it might be that some of the priests in Babylon or whatever had tired of this exile religion that had risen to such prominence, and it was time to be rid of that and get back to, you know...
Well, it could be the great temple of Marduk, Esagila.
Pure had, religion and undefiled now.
Would have had a lot of influence, and there may have been some indications of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Daniel proceeds in his explanation the words that King Belshazzar saw and that he could see in front of him. Verse 25 says, "This is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Pharsin, or O Pharsin." And the meaning of the words is, Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Now, Daniel, in explaining these words, he is addressing them to Belshazzar. But the consequence of these words is that the whole empire...
will be going down.
Yes, has come to an end. So... do we find any lesson in these words of one person's responsibility that weighs on the shoulder of
Daniel places it all on Belshazzar, doesn't he? And these words have an aspect of riddle to them. What Daniel did was fill in the meanings. I mean, you can read them different ways, and different scholars have treated them differently. But what Daniel does is takes these simple words, he perhaps weights or measures, and then interprets them according to the possible meaning. And he does. He directs it specifically towards Belshazzar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do you like this chapter so much, Shavko?
Because according to one proposed structure of the Aramaic part of the book of Daniel, chapters 4 and 5 are at the heart of this Aramaic section. In chapter 4, we find the climax of God's dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. Here, we find just the opposite, God's judgment on Belshazzar. And the two chapters together, they teach us that when God comes into the life of any person in this world or in the history of the world, there is no neutrality. Either that person will humble himself or herself before God and receive mercy, or will continue in his or her rebellion against God and suffer the consequences. So chapter 5 is very close to my heart, and I would like to thank both Dr. Dave Thomas and Kent Bramlett for their contributions. Next week, again, they will be my guests. Please join us next week as we continue to explore the messages from the biblical book of Daniel. Thank you all for tuning in. For Probe, I am Zdravko Stefanovic.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you may call 509-527-2194 or email probe@wwc.edu. Join us again next week at the same time for Probe.